some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden daybreak for me, for you.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Now some folks may doubt, and some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, He's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Now I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, and oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
Oh, somebody stole my Bible. All righty. Tell you what, some people steal anything, man. And but turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read a few verses there in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I hope you'll stop out at the table and look at the tapes and the books. I'm really excited about the book ministry that we have. Some of the books that you'll find out there is an autobiography of George Mueller. And what they actually did with that book was they actually took notes from his own diary and made an autobiography. So everything in there is what he actually said. And he ran orphanages in England, and he did it totally by faith. I mean, they never asked anybody for any help. They never sent out any letters or anything. But everything that they got, all the food, all the money to take care of those hundreds of kids in England and in those orphanages, it was totally through prayer. And his testimony was that he was not a man of any great faith or anything like that, but that he's just a Christian exercising faith, and that the same kind of faith he had is available for every Christian. So that's what's so exciting about that book. And you ought to read biographies and autobiographies of people of God, because it'll encourage your faith. And so there's books out there like that, and really, you won't find hardly any of those books even in Christian bookstores, because, you know, the hot-selling stuff is Christian psychology. You see, stuff like that, you know, 15 easy steps, how you can do nothing and be a great Christian and stuff like that, you know. Now, that stuff sells big, but just stuff on prayer like E.M. Bounds and faith and living for God, you know, that stuff doesn't sell big, so you don't find it in the Christian bookstores. And so God has given us an opportunity to carry many of those classic books, and you'll do yourself a favor and somebody else if you'll pick up some of those books and even give them to people. So please stop, and I hope you'll get one of the brochures. Let me see that brochure there. Hope you'll stop and pick up one of our brochures. We just had these printed up, and I think they're pretty nicely done. And of course, that guy on the front, don't let him scare you off. But God has given us the ministry of evangelism, and we had these printed up. So two things, really, so that people, churches that don't know about us, would get a chance to know about the ministry that God has given us. And also, as you open it up, there's a picture of my family, and just asking you to pray for us. And you can use it as a prayer card. So I hope you'll pick up one of these out in the foyer and use it, if for nothing else, to throw darts at. But when you're not doing that, you can pray for them, of course. We need your prayers, and anybody that's serving God needs the prayers of God's people. So please pray for us as we seek to serve him. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to read the scriptures. Would you bow with me? Father, Lord, we thank you for all that is going on. We thank you for the puppet presentation, Lord, with the children. And Lord, that was a blessing. And we thank you for the singing and all that has gone on, Father. We've enjoyed it, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies and all of that, Father. But Lord, The most important thing, Lord, is for us to hear your word. And God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray that each of our hearts will be open to receive the word of God, Lord. And Lord, that we'll apply your word to our lives. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would work mightily in this service, Lord, as you meet with us here, Lord. Help us tonight. Oh, God, strengthen us. And God, help us to go, Lord, to take the next step and go to the next level in our Christian lives. Oh, God, help us tonight. Meet with us here and open up the scriptures to us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight, and we're going to read these verses of scripture. I want to talk to you tonight about the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this saying was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, I'm not going to go all into the story, per se, of the birth of Christ, and how there was no room for them in the inn, and all of these things. But rather, I want to just look simply at this whole idea of the coming of Christ. You know, without a doubt, that's what Christmas is all about. Amen. The coming of Christ. When you really think about it, it all boils down to that singular thing, that one thing, that Christ came into this world, you see? And listen, without a doubt, the most glorious event in all of the history of mankind and God's dealing with men was this one fact, the coming of Christ. Christ came into this old sinful world, and someone said he laid down his robes in glory, and all of the praises of the angelic beings and all of the hallelujahs and all of the praises of heaven to come to this sinful world, friend, for you and I. Thank God that Christ came into this world. And as we look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ, and that's what we're going to celebrate in fact, a week from today, we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, amen? We're going to celebrate his coming into this world. Listen, we need to be reminded, I think, of some very important and I think very practical facts surrounding the coming of Christ into this world. Look with me, if you will, first of all, at how Christ came into the world. How Christ came. Friend, it was miraculously. He came into this world miraculously. Did you hear me tonight? Amen. It was a miraculous coming. Now, every birth of every child, without a doubt, is a miracle. Amen? I don't understand how that a child can begin from seemingly nothing. Man alive, all the bones, nowhere to go, and all the different parts of the body just seem to come together and all of this. And after a certain amount of time, man, here comes a baby. That's a miracle, friend. David said, "I was fearfully and wonderfully made." He thought about this whole idea of natural birth, and he said, "It's a wonderful thing. It's a miraculous thing, and don't you ever forget it." But listen, when we look at and think about the coming of Christ into this world, his birth was more miraculous than any other birth of any other person that ever came into this world. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was born of a virgin, amen? And listen to me, that's a fact that as Christians, we need not be ashamed of and we don't need to back away from. He was born of a virgin, amen? The Bible teaches that. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Because there's something that, listen, that we need to apply to our lives. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 22 and verse 23, I want you to see some amazing things concerning the coming of Christ. Maybe some things you never really thought about in this way. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22, look at what it says. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Notice again in verse 23, he says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Now again, there's been many births and many unusual births. But never was there a child born like this child was born. Here was a child that had a mother and no earthly father. Amen. Friend, that's a miracle. Now you ask me, Brother McCoy, how in the world could it happen? Listen, the only way that I can explain it is the way God explained it. Listen to me. God did it. It wasn't something that man concocted. It was from God. You see, even Mary was perplexed about how that this could come to place and how that this could happen. But yet God simply replied to Mary, listen, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. God's reply to Mary as she thought on these things and wondered at these things was simply, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now listen, we need to apply that to our lives. And we need to think about something for a moment, the fact that God brought the Lord Jesus Christ into this world through a virgin's womb. It was a miraculous birth. And that ought to tell every one of us, especially us as Christians, friend, that God is the God of the impossible. That God is the God of miracles. And the same God that worked this tremendous miracle in the life of Mary, friend, listen to me, he can work a miracle in your life. You see, all of us are faced with problems from time to time that we think are impossible. But listen, the one thing that ought to encourage us more than anything else is that we look at God and realize that God is the God of the impossible. He says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You see, and listen, God has proved it over and over and over again. With God, not with man, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I guess the songwriter was thinking about that, I guess, one day when he wrote the song and asked the question, "Have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable?" He asked, "Have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through?" And he answered it and said, "God specializes in things that are impossible, and he can do what no other power can do." Let me ask you a question tonight. You got something in your life that's like a mountain? You got a situation in your life that, humanly speaking, man alive, there's no way that the situation is going to be made better? You know what you need to do? You need to look up to the Lord and realize, as the psalmist did, that your help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. He is the God of the impossible. Nobody but God could cause a child to be born of a virgin. There's some things that God has allowed us to do, friend, but there's many things that only God can do. And we need to look to him as the God of the impossible situation. How he came into the world. I don't know if you've thought about it. I thought about it. Man, that encouraged me when those impossible situations arise, to know that there's a God who can do anything but fail. Amen. Have you tried him tonight? Have you had experience with the God of the impossible? Huh? But not only that, but I think we need to look at not only how Christ came as we think about the coming of Christ, but we need to look at where he came. That's important tonight. God went to great pains to tell us exactly where Christ came. You see, how he came was miraculously, but listen, where he came was specifically. Do you realize tonight that Jesus Christ had to be born in one specific place? He couldn't have just been born anywhere. He couldn't have just been born by some wayside in some town somewhere. You know, it don't make any difference, friend. There was a specific place where Jesus Christ had to be born. And listen to me. Not only is God the God of the miraculous, but he's also a God of the specifics. He's the God, you see, that listen, there's certain specific things in my life, in your life, that must take place. And he's God of those things, and he will make sure that they take place. You see, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. The prophet prophesied it. Look at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, if you will, if you have a Bible. If you don't, shame on you. But Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It tells us exactly where Christ had to be born. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet," now get this, "yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Where did Christ had to be born, friend? He had to be born in Bethlehem. Now that's interesting, because as you look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, something amazing happened. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, as we read about how Christ was born and where he was born, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Israel, in Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." You know, as I look at that and look at those passages of scripture, where I see old Caesar Augustus sitting on his high and mighty throne, and giving out all his high and mighty decrees and all of his orders, man, that all the world's going to be taxed. Boy, he thought he was doing something really big. But listen to me. You know what he was really doing? He was just being used of God. He didn't know it. All of his plans and all of his might and all of his power. You see, Rome ruled the world. But listen to me. They were nothing but just a speck in the hand of an omnipotent God. God said, "I've got a Christ that I've got to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And if I've got to move the whole world to do it, then I'll do it." And that's exactly what he did, friend. He moved the whole world. Everybody in the Roman Empire was moving here, there, and yonder, going here and there, all because God had to get one man and one woman bearing one child to one specific place to fulfill his will. Now listen, we can apply that to our lives. I think sometimes we look at all of the schemes and plans of powerful men and powerful and even evil men and all of their weapons and devices and all of this thing, and we get bewildered and think, man, alive, how in the world is God's will going to be accomplished? But I want to tell you something tonight, Christian. God's will be accomplished, you see? All of the things that we've seen. Listen, I don't think we really realize some of the tremendous things that we've seen happen just in our lifetime in recent years. I mean, listen to me. If the Lord tarries, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, generations are going to read about this time that we live in now, and they're going to be amazed with some of the things that have happened. They're going to be amazed. Listen to me. It wasn't but maybe a year or two ago, man, a lot of people were saying how that, man, America's through, and boy, it's just over, and man alive, all of our freedoms are gone. And then, boom, just like that. Man alive, we've never seen such a shift to the right as far as conservatism and people that want to get back to some basic thing. When's the last time you heard anybody from Washington talking about getting a prayer back in schools? Huh? Come on now. We had a conservative president in the 80s, the most conservative president we've had in the White House in my lifetime. And it was during that time that they got it out of the schools. Amen. Who would have thought it a year ago? Who would have thought it 2 years ago? You say, what's happening? Listen to me, Fred. We can look at the political scene, and we can look at the turmoil, and we can look at all of that. But let me tell you something. Don't ever get your eyes off of God. Don't ever forget that God's on the throne. God's in control. God reigns in this world. And his will be done. Amen. I don't care if Clinton is the president. I don't care if Howdy Doody becomes the president, friend. God's will be accomplished. See? Amen. Don't get all upset and bothered about all that kind of foolishness, friend. Just keep on witnessing. Keep on soul winning. Keep on serving the Lord. God's going to work out his plan and purpose in this world. You see? Man can't stop God. Amen? The devil can't stop God, amen? You just stay on God's side. You'll be all right. See? You'll be all right. Don't ever forget, friend, that God is still in control. See? Oh, Caesar, can you see, man? You know, I like to picture this stuff. You know, I can see Caesar up there, you know, they worship Caesar as a god. They called him a god. Man, he was God. Huh? He was just a puny pipsqueak. See, in the hand of God, you see, God used him to move the whole world around to get one man and one woman bearing one child from Nazareth to Bethlehem to accomplish his will, you see. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. You see, these are things we need to consider. When we think about the coming of Christ, friend, it was no chance happening. It wasn't just something that just popped up, you know, just something off the top of God's mind, friend. God knew what he was doing. He sent Christ into this world. Christ came miraculously. Christ came specifically. And listen to me, God has a specific will for your life. And I want to tell you something. There's only one person that can hinder that will. And that's you. You hear me tonight? You better stay in the will of God. You better stay with God tonight, you see? Man alive, I see people, you see, they get frustrated. They get to the place where they think, man, they got to take matters into their own hands. No, you better trust in an almighty God. Stay in the will of God, see? Stay in that train that the devil can't derail, amen. That train's called the will of God, you see. Oh, man, God's in control. Aren't you glad God's in control tonight? Amen, he's in control. Listen to me, I want us to even take a step further, not only consider how Christ came and where he came, but I want us to look at when he came. You know, there's a lot of people want to debate about when Christ was born. And you get these people say, you're celebrating Christmas on the 25th. You know, how do you know he was born on the 25th? But listen, I tell you tonight, I don't know he was born on the 25th, okay? But listen to me, there's a lot of people that don't know what their birthday is. I know people from down south where they didn't keep no records. They just picked a day and say, well, I'll just take such and such day and I'll just celebrate that as my birthday. Amen. Listen to me. Does that mean they wasn't born? Huh? No, it just means that you just take a day. Huh? Listen, I got saved in 1975. But you know what? I didn't write down the day. I didn't know you were supposed to. Huh? So all I know is I got saved in 1975. Doesn't mean I'm not saved, amen? Just mean I don't know what the date is, amen? Listen to me. Listen to me. People want to debate over the exact date of Christ's birth, but listen, they're missing the whole point. Christ came into the world. Listen, the most important thing, friend, is not the exact date that he came, but the fact that he came, amen? And he did come, amen? He did come. God willed it so, and he came. You say, now, but brother, now, when did he come? All right. I'll tell you when he came. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Now, all these are things that you need to apply to your life, because as I think about these things and look at these things, man, a lot of it is just, they're things that I apply to my life in a very practical way. Look at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read some verses there. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." And look at verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You see, God tells us something in verse 4 that's very important concerning when Christ came. You see, God didn't give us a specific date, but God says that at a specific time, he sent his Son into the world. When was that time? The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come." Now listen, I want to show you how that applies to our lives. You see, God has a timetable. Now listen to me real good on this. God has a set time for things. Now listen, God doesn't work by our timetable. See? God doesn't work by my schedule keeper. See, the problem with some of us is we get so sophisticated, we think we can schedule God. Now, God, you know, I got this situation now. Now, you know, by 2:00 Monday, I got to have this and that, and it's got to be done in such and such a way, God. Now, I'm just going to write this down, and God, I'm going to just put you in my schedule. I want to tell you something, friend. God's bigger than your schedule. Amen. Some of us even get so sophisticated, we think we can computerize God. Friend, God's bigger than your computer. He told David once that he doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. And I think I can bring that up to a modern standpoint and say that God's too big for Microsoft. Amen. You don't have enough megabytes of RAM to fit God in your computer, friend. He's a big God, amen. And he doesn't work by your timetable. And what we need to learn to do is work by God's timetable. Amen. See? God knew when he was going to send his Son into the world. God knew what the time was. God knew when it would happen. But he didn't reveal that exact day to man. But the Bible says when the fullness of time, when God got good and ready, when God said it's time, then he sent his Son into the world. Amen. Oh, we need to learn to wait on God. See? We need to learn, friend, that God may not necessarily come when you think he ought to come, but I heard somebody say one time that he's always on time, amen? He never been late for anything, see? He never missed an appointment. He's always there, right on time. You see, God had a set time for Christ to come into the world. And listen to me, people were dying and going to hell. People were in distress. There were sick people. There were lost people. There were blind people. But yet God said there's a certain amount of time that's got to be fulfilled. And when the fullness of time was come, he sent Christ into the world. You got something you've been praying about. And boy, I want to tell you, sometimes you feel like you just want to stop praying. No, you know what the problem is? You need to learn to wait on God. The fullness of time. It may not necessarily be that you're not praying for the right thing. It may not necessarily be that God's not going to answer the prayer. But listen, he's got a fullness of time, friend. There's things he's working out. There's plans he's working out. Wait on God. See, wait on him. Jesus spoke a parable unto the men of his day that men ought always pray and not faint. You don't quit. You just keep on. And God will work it out in his time. You see, God has a set time. And he's not going to do it, friend, until that fullness of time has come. You see, God has a set time appointed for all things. The Bible says to everything there's a time. You realize that? To everything. See, don't try to rush him. Don't try to put him on your stop clock, you see. Don't try to put him on your alarm. Who's got that alarm? Cut it off. Cut it off. Yeah, there you go. Had to get one more beep, huh? That's all right. Hey. Really, though, I think that's the way we act. Man, God's got to do it at this certain time. We set our little clock. Boy, when that clock starts beeping and God had done, well, I guess that's it then. God's not going to work. God, you know, God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't, you know, hey, it's not that, friend. You got to wait on him. See, you got to wait on him. And God works for those who wait. When he came, I think that's important. Friend, it was timely. It was timely, see, according to God's schedule. And then finally, and I really want us to apply this to our hearts and lives as we look at why he came. You know, this may be the most important thing, I think, that tonight that you might want to really look at to apply to your life. Why Christ came into the world. You know, Jesus Christ did a lot of wonderful things while he was in the world. You know that? And you read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else have you ever read about in history? That the Bible says went about doing good. Now when it says doing good, friend, he healed the sick. See? It's an amazing thing to me. You look at some of these shysters on television and some of these shysters that's healing all these folks. It's an amazing thing. Why is it they can only heal folks when it's 10,000 people out there? Huh? Man, if I had that kind of power, I think I'd go down to the hospital and empty it. Huh? I think I'd go over to this children's hospital and take some of these children with hair gone from radiation treatment and lives just draining away. I think I'd empty it if I had that kind of power. Huh? Huh? Bunch of fakers is what they are. And you might not like it. That's what they are. They're a bunch of fakers, I said. That's what they are. They strut around with their gold watches and big shot sales and all that stuff. It's not like Jesus. He went around and healed folks. And he'd say, shh, don't tell anybody I did it. Huh? Huh? Shh. Don't tell anybody I did it. Open the blinded eyes. Don't tell anybody I did it. Heal the lame, friend. Cause them to walk. Take up thy bed and walk. What a wonderful God. A wonderful Savior is Jesus. But listen to me. While those were wonderful things, those were really only sidelines. See? That was just extracurricular activities for his main purpose. Because his main purpose, friend, was not merely to heal the sick. Because if that's all he was going to do, they could go to hell healed. Huh? They could go to hell with two eyes that could see. That's not the real reason he came into the world. Christ came in the world, listen, while he did many wonderful things while he was here, the main reason that he came was to save sinners. And don't you ever forget that. Thank God for the wonderful testimony concerning soul winning. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't give you a dime for a church that wasn't a soul winning church. Oh, man, and we've got many of them, don't we? Boy, they got the choirs. Amen. Man, they come in, they march in the robes, and boy, the organ's talking and the piano's talking back and the choir director's flying. And I mean, it's jumping. Amen. Huh? Yeah, amen. I've been in them jumping joints, man. I mean, we can jump. Amen. Huh? Ain't nobody getting saved. Don't even give an invitation for people to get saved. Huh? Anybody want to join the church? Whoever got saved, join in a church. Come on now. It's a deception of the devil.
Right.
Now, you may not like it. People come in and get a show and get filled up with emotion and go home lost. It's a crime, friend. It's a crime.
Right.
It's a crime.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen. Just like on the other hand, then you got the folks, they come in and, you know, these are the hallelujah churches. Everybody going in, man, everybody speaking in tongues. Holla, la, 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 la. Here's somebody ain't even saved and he come in, holla, la, 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 la. And he goes home. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Boy, I had a good time. I said, holla, la, 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 la. I'm on my way to hell, but I said, holla, la, 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 la. It's a crime, friend. It's a crime. It's a crime. They ought to be indicted, sending folks to hell. Amen.
Amen.
You come into a good church like this, you don't have all the frills and all of that extra curricular activity, friend, but folks got saved, and you ought to praise God for it.
Amen.
Amen. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he bled. That's why he gave his life. That's why he shed his blood. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why I'm on my way to heaven. That's why we're here tonight.
Amen.
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 He came to save sinners. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. Brother gave me a copy of his testimony this morning. Brother back there, I read it. In fact, I just got done reading it when he walked through the door. Man, it's a blessing to read somebody's testimony, hear somebody's testimony, how they got saved. You got testimony tonight? It's amazing, isn't it? And we could all stand up and tell about how we got saved. That a wonderful thing. Think back on it. Think back on it. It's on your way to hell, weren't you? Whew. Some of us was down and out. Some of us was up and out. But we was all out, amen. Oh, he reached down. He reached way down. He picked us up. Out of that miry clay, amen. Saved us, amen. Washed us and made us as white as snow. You look at me tonight and you say, no, he's black. No, I'm telling you, I'm white. I'm not talking about my skin, friend. I'm talking about my heart. He washed it. White as snow. Oh, praise the Lord. Whew. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means everybody, anywhere, everywhere need to accept this. If you got any sense at all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Whew. That's why I came, friend, to save sinners. And I want to give you one more thing. Listen to me. Listen to me. Turn in your Bibles again back to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see something in Matthew chapter 1. You've read it, but you probably didn't pay much attention to it. Matthew chapter 1, there's a lot of things we read in the Bible, and we don't pay attention to it like we ought to. Matthew chapter 1. Look at it now. And verse 21. Look at it. I want you to think with me. We'll be through. Look at it now. In Matthew 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful name? And shall call his name Jesus. But get this. For he shall save his people from their sins. Do you see it? For he shall save his people from their sins. You know, as I read that, you know what I thought about? Listen to me. Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And I'm thankful that he saved me. I'm glad I've never gotten over it. And the more I talk about it, the more excited I get about it. But listen to me. Listen to me. He didn't save me for me to live in my sins. He saved me from my sins. Do you see that tonight? Or we've gotten to a place in the churches today and among Christians, and we think that it's all right to just get saved and just keep on living in our sin. And friend, I want to plead with you tonight from this standpoint. Jesus Christ came into this world. He shed his blood for you. He gave his precious life for you, not for you to live in your sins, but to save you from your sin. Everything that's wrong with you tonight, everything that's wrong with me tonight is because of sin. Amen? It's because of sin. And if you think that you're going to just live in your sin, waddle in your sin, listen to me, revel in your sin, and call yourself a Christian. Friend, that's not the kind of salvation the Bible talks about. He came to save me from my sin. Thank God he saved me from my sin. Thank God. And I don't want to live in it any longer. Amen. I don't want to live in it any longer. Those old folks used to sing a song, things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Has there been a great change in your life? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Come out of your sin. Get away from it. Run from it. Flee from it. He came into this world, friend, to save you from your sin. Get out of it tonight. There's too many Christians. Oh, you want Christ, but you want your sin. Huh? You aren't going to have them both. Sooner or later, that sin is going to take you away from Christ. Or your love for Christ. It's going to pull you away from that sin. See? He shall save his people. Don't ever forget it. From. See, there's a separation that takes place. From. Don't ever forget that word. From their sin. Christ coming into the world. Oh, I'm glad he came. I'd be on my way to hell if he hadn't. Oh, he's the God of the miraculous. You need a miracle tonight? He's the God of miracles. He really is. Where he came specifically, God had a specific place. God, listen to me, God's will must be to stay in the will of God. Stay where God wants you. Stay in the perfect will of God. When he came, in God's time, wait on God. Wait on God. Why he came? To save sinners. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Listen, that's why he came, to save you. You're saved tonight. You say, Brother McCoy, I'm saved, but I tell you what, I got this sin and that sin and this sin. I'll tell you what you need to do. Get away from it. You don't have to live in sin. You get saved and you live in sins because you choose to. You hear me tonight? You say, but I'm human. I know it, and I am too, and so was he. See? And so was he. And he said, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. If you live in sin tonight, if you dwell in sin tonight, it's not because you're human. It's because you're wicked. That's right. And you want to dwell in it. You want to dwell in it. See? Take a step out. Whew. Step out of it. See? Heads are bowed. And eyes are closed. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Children, I need you to be very quiet. Be very quiet, children. You're here tonight and you say, Brother McCoy, God spoke to my heart tonight. I'm not sure if I die tonight, I'll go to heaven. I wonder tonight how many of you would say, Brother McCoy, I'm not sure I'll go to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me about that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure I'll go to heaven. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'll go to heaven. Brother McCoy, pray for me about that. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I really do. I want to pray for you. I'm not sure. I'd like to go to heaven. I think anybody would like to go to heaven. But you say, Brother McCoy, I'm not exactly sure I'll go to heaven. I can't point to a specific day or time in my life when I took Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me about that? Would you raise your hand? That's what Christmas is all about. That's why Christ came into this world. And maybe you came tonight to see your child or just as a visitor, but you say, boy, I tell you, I need to get this thing settled about whether or not I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me, Brother McCoy. You're here tonight. Would you raise your hand? Okay, I see it, son. You can put it down. I pray for you. Okay, anybody else? Pray for me, Brother McCoy. How about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Okay, ma'am, I see your hand. God bless you. Pray for me about that specifically. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Anybody else? Pray for me about that. I want to pray for you. I love you. I care about you. And listen to me. I don't want you to leave here without being saved. I don't want you to leave here without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pray for me about that specifically, that I'll know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Now listen, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you something, Christian. Have you been impatient with God? Huh? Oh, man, you couldn't wait on God. But you took it in matters into your own hands and you made a mess. Huh? That's sin. You need to confess it and get it right. God didn't work in your time schedule and you got frustrated and discouraged. Huh? And you turned away from him even slightly. That's sin. Oh, you need to get it straight tonight. Is there sin in your life? You know, we need to get to a place as Christians where we start calling sin what it is, ugly, nasty sin, and deal honestly and truly with God about the sin that's in our life. What about the sin that you made excuse for? What about the sin that you've just kind of reasoned that, well, I guess it's all right. Huh? What about the sin? What about the sin that maybe a month ago or a year ago you would have never done, but now you found a way to justify it? Huh? What about that sin? He came to save you from your sin. You need to get some sin out of your life. You need to get things straight tonight. You say, pray for me, Brother McCoy. God's dealing with my heart about some sin in my life. Would you raise your hand tonight? I will pray for you. I will. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Pray for me. Okay. All right. God will help you. Young people, God bless you. Okay. Adults, God bless you. Come on. Come on now. Be honest with God. Come on. Come on. Be honest with God before God tonight. Okay, son, I see your hand. Pray for me tonight.